Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game, sometimes good, and tell you why the bleep we played it. I am Grenading Sean. This is Combat Thomas and Master Mason. And we played... Halo Combat Evolved for the Xbox.
Yes, we've gotten to the point where we're out of our wheelhouse of licensed schlock and are now here to...
And so now we need to do something that would get tons of licensed schlock and other media.
Yeah, that's true. Man.
I was going to say, there's like, what, 30 Halo novels or something?
There are a lot of Halo novels. A comic line.
A comic line. Action figures up the wazoo.
Merch in general. A ton of that.
TV series. No one cares about that.
And there are several animated movies.
Completely forgot about those.
Yeah, so jumping into Halo. It is... the most impactful first-person shooter franchise of the modern century.
When you look at the history of first-person shooters, there are some before, but Doom is kind of the kick down the door first-person shooter.
Yes.
Wolfenstein 3D started it. Doom solidified it. Halo brought it to the next generation, and then Doom 2016 brought it. Boomer shooter back.
I would argue there was one in between Doom and Halo, and that's GoldenEye for the multiplayer aspect. That brought multiplayer to first-person shooter, which was huge.
Mm-hmm. It was either that or Unreal Tournament.
Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, Halo was this slow-burning, massive franchise.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to see, you know, from now and think, oh yeah, it was this huge thing from the beginning. It was A, not a sure thing. B, Microsoft fought with Bungie nonstop on it. C, it went from a RTS to a third-person shooter to a first-person shooter. And then finally, it basically, because of the inability to secure the license, Xbox really wanted their main launch exclusive to be a tie-in to Steven Spielberg's AI.
What?
Couldn't get the license, and so they really were basically like, all right, well, this Halo has to be our big launch.
Interesting.
Well, remember one of the big launch titles for the original Xbox was a tie-in to Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Microsoft was going big with tie-ins and tie-ins. They were trying to get as many different things as they could because Sony had already won the previous console war.
Yeah, it's a new console. They want to get off running.
And you're going against the juggernaut that had become the PlayStation 2. And oh, Nintendo's out there making and bringing in a new console. We probably need to do something.
You also didn't mention that not only did it start out as an RTS, it started out as an RTS for the Mac.
Well, here's the thing. Yes. Because that's what Bungie was. They were a company that made RTSs for the Mac. They made a bunch of games for it. They had been a Mac company. And then in 98, Microsoft purchased them. So, 98, 99. So, at the time, when they were starting to develop Halo in 1997, they were struggling for money. There were only 15 people in the entire company. And they had to keep delaying and stopping it because they were struggling with stuff, specifically trying to get this game developed that was trying to be really ambitious, vehicle combat, first-person shooter, things they hadn't done. So they went back and they made Myst 1 and 2 to try to basically be like, hey, please give us money. We would like to keep making this. Microsoft acquired them. Microsoft then was like, oh gosh, this is going to be our launch. We don't like this title, Halo. We really hate this title, Halo. Please change it. And they're like, fine, we'll slap Combat Evolved on it. How's that, man?
Cool.
Master Chief's wacky fun time.
because Halo is actually an unofficial sequel to a Bungie titles.
What?
Yeah. It is in their same franchise. Let me get the name of it. I forgot the name. It is in... Marathon was their franchise, the successors Marathon and Marathon 2 they'd done. And this technically is in the same universe as those games.
Wow.
They were tired of direct sequels. They wanted to do an indirect sequel.
Hmm. Well, so that shows how big those games were that we didn't even know that the Halo was attached to them.
Yep.
Halo kind of outgrew those two.
Well, also, they were Mac games. And again, yeah. You know, not to diminish how huge Mac was to the gaming franchises in the 90s, at this point, it kind of went away.
Yeah.
That didn't mean anything. You know, the Apple II was billed as a gaming computer a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would make sense that they don't really talk about the games that it ties into.
Yeah.
And then for it launching with a big new console, a bullish console that maybe, you know, Microsoft is literally just throwing money left and right. They're like, you need money? Cool. Money, please. That by the time the first year of the Xbox existed, 50% of Xbox owners who bought an Xbox also purchased Halo.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the time.
It's the time to the console. It's the same way that, you know, when the first year of the Switch, everyone went to the Switch and they were like, what do you own? And it was like, oh, 60-something percent of people own Mario Kart. What else do you own? Mario Kart.
Well, I think that's different to the Switch's situation because I had a point and then I forgot.
Better comparison might be Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Where everyone had Breath of the Wild when they got their Switch.
Because that was all there was, really.
That's the reason I brought up Mario Kart is that is the only game that in the first year of a console cycle that was not included with it, like Wii Sports is an entirely different thing, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. Halo, Mario Kart is the highest percentage of console owners in the first year of a cycle was Mario Kart on Switch, that more than 60% owned it. The next one is 50% of Halo of Xbox owners owned Halo.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
And so that does, yeah, okay,
that's why I'm bringing it in. But yes, it was pretty much if you had an Xbox, you had Halo. Odds are you had Halo, which is crazy to think about in that time frame because we're going into, you know, the GameCube, we're going into what would be Luigi's Mansion, Smash Bros, things like that that would be really, really popular. The PlayStation had their whole big library, and, you know, shooters existed, but they weren't the forefront, especially considering, well, Nintendo's the shooter franchise, the console, you know. You played your shooters on the Nintendo because you had GoldenEye and Perfect Dark.
Yeah, that's such a weird. That's a weird thing to think about. If you wanted shooters, you go to that. That does not compute to me.
And the transition from Nintendo to Xbox would start with Halo, with becoming the shooter console.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah,
like that feels like shooters feel more at home on the Xbox than anything else. I would say across its entire line.
Yeah, Halo is it's iconic, and we've kind of jumped into here right into the history as fast as possible. We'll take a little step back here, and let's talk a little bit about the gameplay in this game.
It's being the first game from a developer that hadn't really proven themselves yet. It's a first game, all right, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, but there's also a lot that comes with it.
Halo Combat Evolved is considered one of the best first-person shooters of all time. You look on all the lists, every list ranking Halo games, and it's from a big publication, Combat Evolved is number one. People like Combat Evolved is the best game in the entire series. I played this game, looked at those publications, you know, like you're on fucking crack. It's not that this game is bad. It's not at all. Not relatively. It's fun as hell. The campaign is pretty well designed with wide open levels that are very good to go through. For me personally, I just couldn't get into it for whatever reason.
I think as far as its campaign, we'll focus on that here. I think with the flaws and the issues they had with developing and all the things going on, you can see why the campaign, I don't think, is the draw to this game. I think you could say that about some of the other Halo games, that the campaigns are awesome. Halo 1's campaign, it is slow.
It's very basic.
Meandering. It takes a while to get, really long time to get going.
Yeah.
And you also, in the first couple of levels, you don't see a whole lot of variation in enemies for a while, long time.
No, yeah, it's just grunts, jackals, and elites for the most part.
And a lot of that you can see because they spent a lot of time trying to perfect the camera and the vehicle mechanics. Those were the big things they really spent a lot of time on, so much so that their first, E3 was mired with, well, this Halo's interesting, but it is buggy and it doesn't really work and it glitches and they had to do so many things to fix the game and get it all going that you can kind of see that I think the actual campaign suffers a bit because of that.
Yes.
And now, full disclosure, I didn't complete the campaign.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've completed it.
I got about halfway through. And who knows, maybe in the second half it's like, oh shit, this is the most badass thing in the world. But just for me personally, I just could not get into it. And again, I don't know if that's something due to the fact that I did not grow up with an Xbox. So every time people were like, oh, this Halo thing's the raddest shit in the world, I was like that Lego astronaut looking guy. So that might be it. Maybe I'm biased. Maybe I'm the guy who's like, yeah, Killzone, that's my franchise. Get out! So maybe that's it for me. But the campaign was not my cup of tea. But again, it's not bad. I want to stress that full front. It is not bad. It's actually pretty well designed open level-wise. A lot of first-person shooters really go with the open levels nowadays. And Halo was kind of a pre-generator to that. Nowadays, it's more of a throwback to when Doom does key hunting. But for a while, there was a time where first-person shooters were wide open. The levels were wide open. You can see what you're doing. It's this seamless story. Basically, no load times as far as I was concerned until you died. And in between cutscenes, which for wide open areas of this, very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, the campaign is not bad. I just want to stress that.
Mm-hmm. It's just not...
And I think story-wise in the campaign, it takes a while for the story to get going. The introduction level is very, very long, very boring. Not a lot happens. A lot of it's like, look at the screen. And, you're setting up your mechanics and all those sort of things that you're like, okay, I want to make sure my controller is sensitive. I want to make sure all these things. And they're trying to do it in the best way they can. Like, new into this at all and going through it. It is very long and winding before anything happens.
I wonder if part of that is because this was kind of a, fairly new genre still. Like nowadays you get into a first person shooter. It's like, all right, you're in the area, have your gun, go. Like it's pretty much instinctual at this point. There have been so many that it's like second nature to most people who have played these games before. But with this, there weren't a lot of games to come before that to get you to grips with that. So I can understand why they did that. But going back to it now makes it...
You're also getting familiar to something very new in a first-person shooter, the Xbox controller.
Yes.
You're getting used to an Xbox controller, and you're getting used to something else. I believe, don't quote me, I believe Halo introduced the weapon limit and the design. The thing, Halo is sci-fi, obviously. You don't look at that and go, that's a realistic, gritty shooter. But Halo is sci-fi. But in many ways, it paved the way for the Call of Duties and the Battlefield.
Oh, 100%.
It paved the way for the realistic shooters.
Yes.
There's no iron sight aiming, which, wow, that was a bad instinct I had to get rid of. I'm like, I'm going to aim down this sight. That's a grenade. That's my legs.
I had the same thing, too.
But... the weapon limit, again, the level design itself, the more focused on a darker story than just you are man with gun, defeat Satan or Cthulhu or whatever the bad guy's name was in Blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure this would have been the first first-person shooter set up with dual stick type controls.
Yes. On the console, yes.
On the console, that's the first time.
Yeah, because the N64 with GoldenEye would have only had the one stick. Doom on his SNES, that had no sticks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this would have been...
It was a big new thing. And, going from what they were initially developing for on the Mac, and, you know, you're either using keyboard, mouse, or joystick, it was... And you can see that they had to develop around this new controller, and good thing they figured out a lot of it. And I think the thing about this first Halo, and Mason said it really well at the beginning, you can tell this is the first game.
Yes.
And they refine a lot of things in 2 and 3. Go ahead.
I'd argue not just the first game of the series, the first game of a generation.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first first-person shooter to really nail home the controls that we use for first-person shooters to this day. It's why I made the joke about Killzone earlier, but that was not Sony advertised it otherwise, but the developers themselves were not going out of their way to make a Halo clone. But all the publications called it that. They called every first-person shooter at the time a Halo clone because the controls were so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Just those dual-stick controls.
Heck, things like Area 51 on the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox was called a Halo clone, and that game has nothing to do with it.
Absolutely nothing.
But it, because of the way it is, it's, oh, that's a Halo clone. Oh, that, yeah. That basically, it took a genre we knew. Think of the game Perfect Dark, and I know it's developed by Rare, so it is developed by the same studio that did GoldenEye, but it is, in a lot of ways, people say, improved GoldenEye. Like, you refined GoldenEye, and you did a lot of these things. But even still then, people talked about GoldenEye as the game of the 64. Like, if you saw a shooter, it's like, oh, that is, they're trying to be GoldenEye. And it's wild that it only took a few years later, on a different system, that literally the entire genre now is defined by that game.
It's defined by that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, sort of all revolves around Halo now.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. I didn't think about that until you brought it up, but that's very true. It's also interesting that we haven't had, like, another first-person shooter do that in a while to really change things like that. And part of that's because this control
setup
is so well...
There's no need to
reinvent the word, but I can't think of it.
There's no need to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
This works. I don't need a game where it's like, oh, you hold the controller like a gun.
You don't want the Wii Zapper?
We thought about trying to do that several times.
I don't want to use the goddamn Wii Zapper. we don't need reinventing the wheel. These controls work. They have worked for ages. They're still working to this day.
Not to mention that both Xbox and PlayStation have kind of stuck with their controllers. So, you're not going to be reinventing, part of why it was so, going from GoldenEye to Halo is because it's two radically different controllers for different systems. And so that is something that, as we've kind of gotten into this era where controllers don't change, and anytime that the company tries to drastically change it, the backlash is so big they have to go back to the original.
Boomerang.
Yep.
The boomerang was stupid.
It was.
Even Nintendo nowadays have gone to this. I played Quake 2 on the Switch, and with the Pro Controller, it's a breeze. Like, it feels wonderful, and that's because it has this setup. And I know we're focusing a lot on the setup, but that's because this game fucking invented it.
Yeah.
And that cannot be,
understated.
In kind of the same way, you see this a lot throughout video game history, is anytime a company kind of on their last legs financially pulls out something to redefine a genre that exists, but now the genre is defined by it. And that's the biggest of things like that. Mario, for example, was in a lot of ways, while Nintendo wasn't on their last legs, Mario, but Donkey Kong was in a lot of ways kind of that. I said Mario, but I was meaning obviously the arcade Donkey Kong. Something we'd seen before, but it was their big move into the genre, and now it defined the genre. Final Fantasy, Square Enix with the RPGs.
I was going to bring that up, but I was wondering if you'd get
to in a lot of ways, obviously, then Bungie here with Halo. We've seen this repeatedly with studios that have done other things that then it's not their end all. It's not, they may not have died afterwards if it failed, but in a lot of ways, this was the like, oh, we're going all in. We're good forever, you know? And unfortunately the side effect is that every game you make post that, it's like, well, why didn't you make this again? Why didn't you make this again?
Yeah.
It's always a thing. Again, every game for a while, every first-person shooter was considered a Halo clone.
Mm-hmm.
Even ones that, again, had, like, nothing to do with Halo. I think the first first-person shooter after Halo that wasn't considered a Halo clone was Black.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Metroid Prime, but that's obviously its own thing.
And even it still took stuff from the control scheme that Halo set down. Yeah. It's not a clone, obviously, but it took stuff from this control scheme.
The only thing... Well, because the thing with Black is that it finally disassociated from it because it was the first one in a while to go hardcore gritty military.
Yeah.
I mean, Call of Duty did that as well, but Call of Duty was mainly known for the PC stuff.
Call of Duty was around. I think Medal of Honor was also around at this time.
Medal of Honor was around. Medal of Honor was actually on the PS1, so it does predate this, but again, PS1, that's what the Nubless DualShock.
Yeah. Well, remember with Medal of Honor, with Call of Duty, with a lot of those war-based combats, they were, you know, there's a reason that a lot of them in the early 2000s that had their were like GameCube. Oh yeah, the GameCube. And the GameCube had to adjust because of Halo's big, you know, control scheme and to try and suddenly using the C stick as the look stick, which was never Nintendo's necessarily intention with that stick.
Did they have an intention with that stick?
I don't know if it ever got used. I mean, it was meant to be a slightly improved for the buttonscape, but like I don't think they were ever really truly intentioning it to be a second joystick. And a lot of first person shooters adjusted on the GameCube to using it as the. Mm-hmm. I think they probably preferred more of what the classic kind of feel of the look around with being like L and R more.
It basically became their second analog stick, whether they wanted it to or not.
So much so that a lot of the pro controllers that come out, or the GameCube-based controllers that come out for the Switch, don't even have that that C-stick is now a lot of times just another joystick.
Another joystick, yeah.
It is one of those that they... This game, it cannot be overstated how impactful this game was to the genre, to the industry, to everything as a whole.
Yeah, that's yes. Why I have my complaints about the campaign. I said them earlier. They are dust in the wind. They don't matter because of the impact this game had.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, and it is wild that in a lot of ways it made the first ever M-rated mascot for a franchise, for a game, you know, in a lot of ways. Because, you know, usually the mascot was more of the cute, cuddly, you know, or, you know, oh, that's just a cartoon character type of thing we saw. Mm-hmm. And then the Xbox is here, even though that wasn't their intention, suddenly being like, well, now Master Chief is our mascot.
What are you talking about? Remember Blinks? No? Okay.
As they're busy being like, we want as many movie tie-in games possible to be at our... Why can't we get AI? Why can we not get AI? Haven't you heard Spielberg games don't turn to game?
They're like, man, thank God this Halo thing took off. We were going to make the mice from sneakers our mascot, and that would have been awful.
And it was so much so that they actually, Xbox 360 struggled a little bit with trying to create a new mascot in a lot of ways. They really wanted Viva Pinata to be their mascot of the 360.
You know, it's funny.
Viva Pinata, I'm like, there are so many. Could have done Cameo.
You bring it, just because it just be weird little Viva Pinata tangent. I watched the Viva Pinata show before I knew that it was a video game. So when I saw the video games, I was like, oh, they made video games based on the show and not the other way around.
That's like watching the Donkey Kong Country show on Fox and being like, oh, I wonder if they have this monkey in a video game. They do!
You know, they made a game out of this show.
Oh my god, my favorite game, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles, tied based on my favorite show, Sonic X.
I love the Rayman show. You mean there's a game that's completely different?
But
anyways,
we've talked a lot about the history. We've talked the controller. We've talked the campaign. But the reason that 50% of Xbox owners bought this game was because of the multiplayer.
Was because probably the over 90% of those 50% had friends.
It was
to play this game.
It was in, like, I was alive to kind of feel the tail end of the GoldenEye hype and all the friends playing around. But honestly, that pretty quickly changed to Smash Bros. Mm. Like, as the game that, like, people, you know, or Mario Kart or things like that were more what you would do at get-togethers, you know.
The more party-esque.
Being a youth group church kid, you know, that was the type of games that were playing. Now imagine, you know, going into 8th and 9th grade, and it's not Mario we're playing. We're all playing Halo at church events. Like, that's the impact the multiplayer had.
That's really funny for me to think about. Come to the youth group. We're going to virtually shoot at each other.
Yeah.
That'd make church a lot more exciting if that's what, but that's what I got.
We went to the church of Master Chief. Grenade! But the impact of the multiplayer, that again, Xbox was very, very, very concerned with four player. Like, that was a big thing, making sure they had four controllers. The fact that it had an internal hard drive that you saved on memory cards that you saved instead of having to, like, plug in memory cards like all the other ones, you meant that your friend, you know, if only one friend had an Xbox, they were just lugging their Xbox over and around. You did have memory cards you could load in and bring your data to other people, and you could play as your character in different ways. But it was all just kind of like, okay, well, we need an Xbox, we need the controllers, we need people around here who are going to play it. And people played it and 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 played it.
Did they play it?
And played it. And we did a little bit of multiplayer and fun. We even put a couple of episodes up on YouTube of us playing the multiplayer. And yeah.
Yes, go check that out. Plug, plug, plug.
It's fun.
It is real. It is really. It's one of those.
You won. Unbalanced as fuck multiplayer. There you go.
Yeah, that's the balancing
not a bad thing.
If it's fun, it's fun.
But I noticed I was looking shit up afterwards, and I was thinking back to my experience, and I'm like, yeah, that was pretty fucking unbalanced.
That is, this game is not and well I think that's part of why a lot of people remember it fondly is. And again, I played a ton of Halo 2 and Halo 3 with friends. Like, that was the thing, all that. But Halo was the one that I could actually win at, because didn't have to be as skilled to win in that game. Mm-hmm. You could get away with quote-unquote cheap things.
What do you mean, quote-unquote? They just were.
Quote-unquote cheap things.
The launcher spawning, grenade spawning, fuck nut, fuck bitch, fuck nut, fuck whore. Anyway.
Hey, there comes that saltiness.
But
I was playing it.
But
go ahead.
The reason that I think people hold that fondness is because of some of the unbalance of it, that everyone was, it was a, you put people in a map and it's chaos.
Yeah.
Yes, there are skill-based things that absolutely rise to the top over time things. You know, you have to be at least decent at it to really be able to shoot with the sniper rifle.
Yeah, you know, the skill-based things like aiming. Oh shit, we're not
good. We played with the steering wheel.
Yeah.
At least according to one commenter.
And you know what? He wasn't too far off, because I was looking back at our gameplay, but I was like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. When I play, it's probably why I'm bad at first-person shooters, but I am just all over with movement. I'm always just like,
it does have.
And you see, like, the good ones that are like, just like, all right, we move over. Just
again, I just. Again, maybe it's because I just wasn't used to an old Xbox controller. What the fuck is this? but, like, I thought the movement was really fucking sensitive.
We didn't really mess much with the sensitivity. There are a lot of sensitivity features you can do with and change exactly how sensitive you want each button to do, how much you want to go through it. There's a lot of extra features on that, and I think it's up like 10 or 12 sensitivity levels.
Now, that could be the sensitivity being bad or me being bad. Both are equally plausible. And maybe I'm just making excuses because I'm a little bitch. So
the multiplayer has like that sort of that Mario Kart quality where, like, even if you're bad at the game, you can still have fun.
Yes,
I know it's hard to tell from watching our footage, but yes, I did have fun.
Yeah, we
Despite the saltiness,
But it's the same sort of saltiness as you said, is when you're getting 6th and 7th place in Mario Kart.
Or
like,
when you're first place, blue shell, red shell, red shell, green shell, red shell.
Yes, exactly.
And now you're in 12th.
Yeah, exactly.
You can still have fun despite the struggles, you know, or despite the losses, or despite, you know, calling everything cheap, quote unquote. but
there's a little... Those quotes are getting smaller by the minute.
But yeah, it was the selling point. And again, we're talking pre-online at this point. Like, Halo 1 was not online. That, you know, that was a huge thing that came with Halo 2 was the online functionality. So you're still talking, you know, four of us sitting at a, you know, in a room and playing all together and, you know, having to look at people in the face.
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird, being able to play a game with other people in the same place, unheard of. That's wild. That's crazy.
All right.
But in all reality, more couch multiplayer games, please.
It also had, and the Xbox as a whole, this is a big thing with the Xbox in general, and Bungie took advantage of it very much with all the Halo games, was the ability to... connect Xboxes and play multi-TVs, so you would have, you know, especially if, you know, we had church events, things like that. Well, if someone else brought an Xbox and, you know, you had two TVs set up and plugged in, you'd have somebody on the big screen, someone's on the small screen, different things all around, and you'd have up to 8 people playing, and that adds to the chaos of especially some of those small levels.
God, could you imagine going through, what was it, the Portal one? He's got the maximum of 6. You're running into each other like a Benny Hill show.
Some of those small levels, like the spawn points would be like, die, and I'd spawn right back and I'd be like, ah, cool, my corpse right there, and that gun that just killed me last time. Neat!
There's my corpse, and there's the guy that killed me. He's got a shotgun. The bitch.
But there's also some really cool animation stuff and things throughout the game. Mason, I know, commented multiple times while playing on camera and off camera about how fun it was to watch people's guns fly in the air when they kill grenades. They spent a lot of time with little details. And that's not even talking about the vehicle-based stuff that we really did not do a whole lot with.
It's kind of funny that they kind of had, like, proto-ragdoll physics. Where, like, they weren't, like, completely ragdoll. They weren't very fluid, but they still move, like, it's not like when we played Nightfire multiplayer and you explode somebody and they just fall flat. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, your character still goes flying, and it's not exactly like a fluid movement, or anything, but it's still really, really funny that they were able to implement, like, an early version of ragdoll physics in this game.
Vaunted Halo clone. 007 Nightfire.
Yeah.
But I think if you can take away anything from our gameplay of it, is this game was really fun.
Yes.
We had fun.
We had.
I joke, but yeah.
We all had kind of a blast. We all got to play. We all got to, you know, experience the pain of defeat and the joy of victory, which was, you know, it was. You know, for three of us who are bad at games, it was fun to, you know, kind of come out semi-even at the end.
Well, I wasn't keeping track of the total. I don't know what we did.
It felt at least semi-even, even if it probably wasn't.
Probably wasn't, but also I don't care enough to go back and count.
That's true. No surprise, as the way we've talked about this game, it was reviewed incredibly well.
Yeah, really? 97, 98 on Metacritic last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. Across the board, 9s and 10s, which again is kind of crazy because throughout all of this, before going into this game, a lot of these same critics talked about, well, there may be good in this game, but that E3 show, what we saw from it, what we got to play from it, ooh, it's got some hiccups. It's got some problems. I don't know if this is going to work out. We'll have to see. This game slaps.
They probably had like a really, or they probably didn't have enough time to make like a really good build for E3. Mm-hmm. I had to guess.
Microsoft was like, make a build for E3. How long do we have? 30 minutes. Damn.
I think that in a lot of ways, this game, I don't want to say it cemented that multiplayer was still going to be a huge part of this console cycle, but this is kind of the game along with, you know, we'd say things like Smash Bros. And even things like Double Dash, even if it didn't sell as well, or that four-player multiplayer was still going to be a huge thing, despite the fact that Sony was kind of sitting there being like, two-player is the future. Mm.
So weird.
You know, for multiple generations, it was like, okay, Xbox is going to be here to stay, and they have multiplayer, and that is going to be at least their driving force in the first couple of years.
Yes.
But yeah. Yeah. This is a pretty fun game for us to sit down and play.
Fun game to sit down and talk about.
Yeah, because there's just so much. It had a huge history. It has continued on, you know, we're 20 plus years later.
Yeah, we're on the sixth mainline game and enough spinoffs to choke a horse.
Yeah,
and
we're still finishing that goddamn fight. We'll finish it one day.
No,
you fucking will.
Nope.
Microsoft's going to keep this bitch burning until the sun burns out, baby.
Halo 37, we're really, really finishing the fight. Well,
Halo Infinite.
Promise.
Halo Infinite-er.
And I mean, with the rumors of another... remaster, I guess, of it that might be hitting PlayStation, which is the weirdest thing ever. Being that Bungie is now a Sony company.
Because I'm gonna get a fucking Halo game on PlayStation before I get another Killzone game. I'm not better.
Halo on PlayStation before we get GTA 6.
You're gonna get Halo on PlayStation before Sly Cooper comes back.
I'm gonna get Halo on PlayStation before I get another Resistance game. Sony has first-person shooter franchises. They don't need Halo. Oh, what? The Last of Us Remake 3. Great. I hate my life.
This time in VR.
You get to see all the bleeding misery.
So,
this time.
Again, no surprise, this game won a ton of awards at the end of the year. It was... Best console game, best race, or not best shooter.
I was going to say, so motherfucker.
We played so many racing games this year that I'm just burned into that every game we play has to be a racing game.
You can get into a Warthog, it's a racing game. Fuck, man.
But as Mason said, that the Forza games would later let you play, actually race with
in the Warthog, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Forza Horizon games, you can drive the Warthog. It's weird. It's weirder in that game because in the Forza games because it doesn't have four-wheel steering. It just drives like a car. It also sounds like a car, which it shouldn't, but that's a whole other tangent.
That's, you know, normal for a lot of these things, but yeah.
That's a whole other thing I'll bring up when the mics get turned off.
And in 2017, Halo was inducted into the World Video Game Hall of Fame, so...
Kind of surprised it didn't happen sooner, but...
You know, you usually try to let things... Hopefully, I know that we live in an era where we have to get the seventh remake of Last of Us 4 years after it comes out. But it is nice to when they let things at least sit for a decade before doing things.
That's true.
But, yeah. We had a blast playing Halo, and it's not a surprise that it is still a good game. But on that... We ask two important questions every game that we play. The first is, how does it hold up?
Fine.
I think it's aged.
I think there are...
Not in a totally bad, it's unplayable way, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's aged.
And
I brought up all my complaints with it earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And I think the thing to remember is also, of the three of us, Thomas plays the most shooters. More often, he is the Call of Duty fan of us.
That is true.
And so I do think...
And again, I am not at all experienced with Halo.
In the way it's aged, it's less of like graphically or anything has aged to that point. It's that this was the beginning and things have perfected the shooter model from it. Whether that's the future Halo games, whether that's the Modern Warfare games, things like that have perfected that shooter experience that Halo kind of created.
Again, call me biased if you want. I don't care. I just didn't grow up with Halo. So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's perfectly fine. And again, I think that's a valid point. And it is one of those that is...
Maybe if I sat down and played this for God knows how many hours on end, like I'm sure a lot of the reviewers did, maybe I'd see it. So, yes.
But yeah, it's...
I'm basically trying to get the internet preemptively off my ass.
Boy, I bet Thomas doesn't have any other controversial opinions. Nothing about a certain black hedgehog.
God damn it.
Well, now you're just taking it on at this point.
Maybe.
Now you want Thomas to
I mean, sure. I have controversial opinions like I've never played Minecraft.
It's not a controversial opinion. It's just a controversial thing you've ever done that I've also never done. Fuck it.
But yeah, I think the game has held up very well, specifically the multiplayer. But you do see some of its age and a lot of the stuff that comes with it in its campaign mode.
That's very
which good. It will be perfected in future generations.
Like in Halo 2. Even if they changed nothing else, they added Blow Me Away by Breaking Benjamin. That immediately makes it an 11 out of 10.
Halo 2, the Halo.
There is, on that, you know, 2 would start, you know, we have normal melee attacks, but starting to add melee weapons in the future. And that is something that I think does improve the game a bit, is the melee weapons. Because it adds a different level of strategy to your what you're trying to do.
I will say, honestly, my favorite moment in all of my playthrough, I was playing the campaign. I hit a grunt with the butt of the pistol. It flipped around my hand and 2 caps in the head. And I'm like, that is the most badass I ever felt.
The animation for the pistol and everything is just top-notch. Yeah.
The melee especially, that's like one of my favorite melees of all time. He just hits you with the butt of the pistol, then flips it back around, and it's right in your face.
Pistol whip.
And even things like the shotgun or the assault rifle, the way that it flips it up and then flips it back. Yeah. They worked really hard on those sort of things, and those, still 20 years later, we see. Mm-hmm. The second question we ask of every game that we play, do you want to see a remake or a reimagining of this game in a modern setting?
Aren't there
like 5?
There've been a few, you know, quote unquote, you know, new versions of it.
As we're recording this, the Master Chief Collection,
that's true,
is on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's on Steam.
So like it's there and it's readily available.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the big thing when they brought Halo 1 back was the online play. Again, something I didn't mention earlier was that the PC port had online play of the first game. So Halo 1 PC players had been playing all online all along. It wasn't until Halo 2 that console got it. But when they brought it back, you got to play Halo 1 online, which, again, fans of Halo 1 love.
Yes.
I think, do I personally need a remake or reimagining? No. It is still easy to get a hold of in numerous different places. Again, is it Steam, you can play it. Xboxes, you can play it. Potentially PlayStations in the future, you can play it. Yeah. Who knows?
Even as I mentioned before, with Game Pass, on any device that you have Game Pass downloaded on, you can play it.
It's pretty readily available, so it's not one that I think... There are a lot of other games I would like to see get remakes and reimaginings before I'd like to see Halo get one.
Yes.
I'm not clamoring for a remake or a reimagining. Again, not a Halo guy, so...
You're just clamoring for Master Chief in Multiverses.
No, I'm not. I'm clamoring for the Xbox Smash clone.
No, because the Halo show's on Paramount, so he'd be in Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl, fighting Garfield and the Ninja Turtles.
And losing as rightfully God.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's Halo.
Isn't that Halo movie been through like 5 different fucking
publishers, though? The original Halo movie was supposed to be Peter Jackson's company was supposed to make it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they brought it with a whole... I don't remember what their exact contract or budget demand was, but the studio was like, a fourth of it is what we'll make it for. And it's like, you want to make a Halo movie for $30 million? And they're like, yep.
And it was like, neat, fuck off.
And I know that some of that idea then burned into what would be made, the movie District 9 would be made from the ashes of that budget.
Oh, yeah.
I know that much, because that was Peter Jackson's company. But one day maybe a Halo movie will be made. I, at this point, don't believe it, but...
Not in my life.
Don't worry, probably. It'll be just like the show. It'll start off the first 5 minutes, it'll be good. Then Master Chief takes off his helmet, and it's just drama for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Apparently, despite having Paramount Plus, I've never watched that damn show, because again, I don't care about Halo.
Just watched it, she hated it.
I know.
I'm kind of in the middle of it. I like a lot of elements they make from it, and then there's a lot of things like Master Chief taking his helmet off that I'm just like, but why? But why?
I don't know much about Halo, but also Master Chief like fucks up prisoner in episode 5 or something, and it's like, I don't think he'd do that. I'm not even a Halo fan, but I don't think he'd do that.
The Halo show is definitely a take on Halo.
I think I've heard from Halo fans season 2 is better, mm-hmm. but only slightly.
It's actually one of those rare occasions where slashing the budget actually forced them to make better TV mm-hmm. that doesn't rely as much on the spectacles sometimes and had to actually, you know, I don't know, film a television show.
Oh, fuck, but that's hard.
It is.
That's really difficult, though. Can we, like, can we just do one
show?
Can we not?
But yeah, that's Halo Combat Evolved on the Xbox. What do you guys think?
I apologize for my kind of negative Nancy attitude.
are you just angry at Thomas? Well, send us an email, bleepyouplayin@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplayin@gmail.com.
Send me an email why Halo Combat Evolved is the best game ever made. I won't read it.
But I will. Or if you'd like us to play a game, a shooter, maybe you want us to play Killzone to hear Thomas talk all about Killzone. Well, you can make us do that by subscribing over on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. $15 a month, and we'll play the game for you. And then we'll tell you all about it. But yeah. We'll be back. Only a few more episodes left in the season. We'll be back next time. Burn it.